back on the post game. All right, Ben, I'm going to flip your question on you. Democrats win the House, or you win your fantasy football championship?
Oh no, Democrats win the House.
Yeah,
that question probably would have been answered differently 8 years ago.
That's right.
And I don't know whether that's my interest in fantasy means more, or my the necessity and the importance of this race.
It's definitely both, but it's mainly the importance of this race.
It is the importance of this race, but definitely, I definitely don't care as much about fantasy. There's no question. I've noticed that. There's just like, you know, I played a guy who like was out two straight weeks.
You know, really?
Like, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was unclear. It was unclear whether he was going to play, and my teams aren't very good. I didn't have a lot of options. It was unclear whether he was going to play, but I would have just, I just would have solved that problem in previous, in previous lives.
And so. I shouldn't get into length on this. I'll just say real quick. I went with Mostert and Mike Davis in desperation this week, and they both delivered. And it's great when you put in terrible running backs.
And they deliver. Yeah.
And they deliver. And not necessarily terrible, just like backups and stuff like that. And then, of course, like with all my players, Mostert then immediately self-destructed. My players are straight out of Mission Impossible. They will explode 5 seconds after the game. So that's just, so he's on injury reserve.
On a league that the league I care about less, my running backs were James Conner, Kareem Hunt, and Tevin Coleman.
Oh.
Yeah, I won this week.
Yeah, I would imagine you did.
I emerged victorious.
Yeah. Okay, so but the reason I brought that up is that it's not a, I knew it's not a fair question. You can't.
There's nothing, other than like health of family.
That's right.
Right.
So the Democrats winning the House just could not be more important. And
A's finished last for the next 10 years. It was 100 games every year. So essentially, you're removing baseball from my interest for a decade, right?
Yeah.
My fandom, at least. Where the Democrats win the House. I'm going to need them to win the Senate, too, for that one. Just as I say it out loud, that's too much.
Because it's actually worse than removing your fandom, because you'll have to bear through that pain
for
10 straight years. Oh, my God, now that you put it that way. Okay, come close, but never win the fantasy football championship for the next 10 years. God damn it! Like, you know, it's much frustration, but I likely won't win it anyway. the real world always wins. So, especially in an election this important, right?
Fascism's on the table.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Fascism often trumps fantasy football, but it's the rare thing that trumps fantasy
football. I want to have a wager of how many Democrats, and we'll have to have a meaningful way to analyze it, but how many meaningful Democrats, and I don't mean ones who can really win, but I just mean serious people who will get covered. Like, I want a number on how many run for president. Like, I don't know whether the cutoff is make it to Iowa. I don't even think it has to go that far. I would just be like, you know, they have to be as meaningful as Lincoln Chafee. So, like, it's a pretty low bar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's as little meaningfulness as you could possibly get.
Right, but I think there will be, but then, or is Jim Gilmore, like, whatever, you know, that, you know, so if he counts, then I think that there will be more. I will set a number at 30 and a half.
30 and a half, what?
Will run. There will be
30 and a half Democrats
president. And I'd be happy to take the over. That's how
really? Wow, I'll do that bet now. You want to do it?
All right, I'm going to set resetting it at 28 and a half.
I'll still take it. Okay, what do we got? $20?
Yeah, $20. Well, I'll say 30 and a half. That's what it is, just for fun.
Since it's only $20.
Yeah.
$200? Back down to 28 and a half. Anyway, no, I thought you were going somewhere else with it, but that is an interesting question, which is if Gillum wins, does he run for president? If Beto wins or loses, does he run for president? Mm-hmm.
That's right. There's an argument to be made that he might have, if he loses in a spirited race, that it might be easier for him to run for president than if he'd. Because the rules have changed. You don't need to have experience. I mean, and my answer to Andrew Gillum would be, should he run for president? If he's, you know, if he's effective, you know, in his first year in office and you know, and it's scandal-free and there's no issue, yeah. I mean, you know, Tom Daschle, I can't remember who told me this, but I mean, I think it's public knowledge, but, you know, Barack Obama thought he was supposed to wait. He didn't want to run for president in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was Hillary Clinton's time. And, you know, and Biden, a bunch of people ran against it. But
And Clinton can't lose.
Right, Hillary Clinton can't lose. But Obama gave that speech, and then the anti-war movement built, and the Democrats who were going to run in 2008 were significantly wounded by their haphazard opposition or non-existent opposition to the Iraq War. And Obama had that opposition in large part because he wasn't in the Senate at the time to vote, knowing what we know about Barack Obama, there's a good chance he would have voted for the war, but he didn't, whatever, he didn't have to, we don't know, right? So and maybe that version of Barack Obama would have, maybe being the president is what caused him to moderate the way he did. I could believe that easily, right? But it doesn't matter, he didn't have to choose. And Tom Daschle told him, no man, it's now. Your time is now. It doesn't matter whether you think you should wait. It's now. The spotlight, the circumstances have come. The light is shining on you now. You cannot let it go. And so there's an excellent chance that for somebody like Andrew Gillum, suppose a Democrat wins. You can wait 8 years? This is your time is now.
Yeah, so look, I think I have a good instinct for it. I could be wrong, of course. So for example, last time around, the mistake was Elizabeth Warren not running. So I don't know what would have happened in that race if Elizabeth Warren would have run, but would she have had a decent chance? Yes. Was that her moment? Definitely. That doesn't mean it, this time around is not her moment, but I know last time was her moment.
I agree. Last time was her moment. We know she was afraid, as zillions of people were, to run against the Clinton machine because you thought.
Yeah, but you know, if you're afraid to run against anyone, then you shouldn't run. Then you're not. Then you're in the wrong business.
Okay, that's a theoretical. I don't even disagree with you, but I mean, I get the. You know, these are not people who think in politics. They don't think globally in politics. They think very locally in politics. I just mean they think narrowly in politics, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and it seemed like I'm going to get my. I think you know I'm going to get chewed up, spit out, have to raise $100 million or whatever it is just to run in a Democratic primary, I'll lose anyway, right? And the Clinton machine will just make my life miserable, right? Every negative thing that has ever happened to me, you know, you think Trump has been tough on the Native American claim? You think Hillary would have not dug into that? Of course
she would. Yeah, I mean, she obviously wouldn't have called her Pocahontas.
No, right.
No, I know, but it's not even the going negative on her in those ways. She just would have been persona non grata in the Democratic Party and would have lost all power. So instead of being an important senator that could affect change and you know, if she cares about policy, which I think she does,
right,
protect
that's
consumers,
a great point too. That's right.
Et cetera, she wouldn't have the ability to do any of that in a Clinton administration if she'd run against it.
Unless she had capitulated at the time in an incredibly appropriate way. But if you think that that's the only way I can save myself is to capitulate, then what am I?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah. So the Clintons have an enemies list. That's just a fact. And so and they do punish people. And so that's real, and it intimidated a lot of people.
No question. No question. So
the person who, of course, ran and did well, Bernie Sanders, he don't give a shit about your enemies list, right? He's like, wait, I'm not on your enemies list? That's weird. Yeah. Let's make that happen.
And let's be honest, Bernie, you know, Bernie's, you ask the 2015 version of Bernie whether he thought he'd come, whatever, however close he came within, you know, that he ended at one point at his high watermark, did he have a 27% chance of getting the nomination, a 36% chance, you know, some number around there. Maybe it was lower, maybe it was around
there. At a bare minimum, it was a third.
Yeah, okay, I would say lower, but whatever, it's over 20%. He had a chance, right? He had a dice roll chance of being the nominee. I don't think he thought that when he started.
I think the only person who thought that when he started was me.
Right. So, but now in 2020, I mean, there's no monolith. There's no nothing. There is an open field, and there are a zillion people who are going to tell all these people, you know, for every obvious choice like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, who we sort of know will run. But you know, there are, you know, there's Mitch Landrieu, and I'm forgetting. There's one guy already running.
Delaney,
right? For Maryland, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that guy's already running. And then there's the guy who almost ran, or was the third, finished third to run for the DNC, the mayor of South Bend.
Oh, like, yeah,
that
yeah,
guy's
yeah.
probably going to run. John Hickenlooper is going to run.
Right? John Hickenlooper.
Right, and then there's the
How dare you?
And then there's the Joe Bidens, and somebody from 2004 is going to run. Like, not John Edwards, but, you know, John Kerry might run again. You know, like,
Eric Holder.
Eric Holder's going to run for president.
Michael Avenatti. You know what? I'm beginning to doubt my bet.
Right.
What do we set it at? 28.5 or 30.5?
30.5. Deval Patrick is going to run for president. You know?
Is that right?
Yeah. You know, he's just been to South Carolina. Like, he's born in Iowa.
That's great.
Yeah.
This is all great news. Yeah. I'll tell you why it's great news in a sec.
To say nothing of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Probably. There's some possibility that they'll make some deal and they won't both run, but I think they probably, in the end.
So, in the most shocking twist of all time, and I literally have to double check this and read it again to believe it. Apparently, Gillibrand says she's not going to run.
Yeah, no, I saw that too. I would have named her, but she said this.
I had her in my final four. Yeah. That's the most shocking dropout I've seen in a long, long time.
Amy Klobuchar, you know.
Oh, Klobuchar is supposed to run.
But also, I mean, Al Franken might run for president because why not?
Nah, not now. He was going to. So the conventional wisdom in Washington is that Gillibrand ended Franken's career. That when the issues came up, she piled on.
Yeah, that's right.
And
she
did it to eliminate a possible presidential contender. So that's why her not running is shocking. I literally don't believe it. I think there must be some other deal.
I thought she piled on. I didn't put it on as presidential.
No, I'm talking about conventional wisdom. I'm not saying my opinion.
I don't see how anybody was afraid that Al Franken was a threat to your route to the or meaningful threat to your.
But look, I've talked to enough people in Washington who have said that I'm reporting it as conventional wisdom from Washington.
I got you. I don't believe it. I believe they told. Well, obviously, they believe they told you that. I just think that's not. No part of that rings true. But she did pile on, no question.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so it doesn't matter at all. Let me ask it to you. So how do you see it now? So because look, guys, tomorrow is monumental. But we just did a big show on it. We're going to do a 12-hour show on it tomorrow. The thing we're not discussing until probably the end of the night tomorrow is what happens next. And there's two things that happen next. One is policy. What are the Democrats going to do? I talked to Ro Khanna and we did a quick YouTube live video of all things over the weekend on it because he was here in LA. He had great answers for what they should do next. And then the second thing that happens is the presidential race. It begins almost immediately. Certainly by January, February, it's a melee, right? What's the whole thing that they
said? Well, maybe not, but by summer anyway, the people will be actively campaigning.
Yeah. There'll be a frenzy.
Yeah.
I think very quick.
Yeah, I agree.
January, February, March. I mean, the frenzy.
But I just mean you won't like that might happen. There'll be stuff in the background, like, but they're like, you know, there's like Iowa State fairs and stuff. Like, I mean, there'll be actual campaign events in the undisputed campaign events by the time summer rolls around.
What's the thing that they used to do the Malachi Crunch in Happy Days? Demolition Derby.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like a Demolition Derby, right? And they have people running into each other, cars everywhere, right? So what's your take on the Bernie Sanders versus Elizabeth Warren versus the world?
Well, I read one thing that they're expected to meet after the election sometime, maybe at the end of the year, and figure out what the best way is going forward, that there may be an agreement that they think us running against each other is not useful, that we can, you know, and maybe it's a deal where one's the other person's vice president, you know, or depending on what they decide is the best. That's a great, like, that's a movie script idea that sort of discounts the egos of two people, and I'm not calling them out for having particularly strong egos, but the egos of two people who think they're leaders and want to be president. I particularly have a tough time believing Bernie Sanders says I'll devote, and because he's never done anything like that ever, that I will send my army, right, to the best that I can and tell them to vote for you. That doesn't sound like that a thing that would happen.
But
I did read that they were going to meet and that they don't see their people, certainly at least people in their camps who don't see value in them butting heads in a giant, in what will be, whether it's 30 people or 20 people in a big Democratic field.
Yeah, so I have no idea if they're going to do that. And I think that it makes no sense for Bernie Sanders to take the second seat because he almost won the last time, and he consistently ranks number one or number two in most popular politician in the country, and so it would be super weird to have him be VP.
Instinctively, that feels weird, but maybe right. She would be willing to do that, and that they would have some sort of, you know, a unique power sharing thing. Like, yes, you are gonna reform. You know, you're in charge of, you know, anything having to do with consumers, or you're in charge of healthcare, you're in charge of all these things.
Right.
You know, that's possible, I suppose.
Yeah. So, I definitely don't know anything about that. It was kind of a funny thing to clarify, but I need to clarify it. Okay. Having said that, I love the idea, and if it's Sanders Warren and they go together, it's a near guarantee victory.
You know, it'd be so.
They will steamroll the field.
It is interesting to think of, like, if, you know, and again, I just read one article, that early on, like, you know, again, by before summer in the winter or spring of 2019, that they have a power share. Like, there's no suspense. If I'm the nominee, she's my vice president, and the only way any of them, she agrees to this is. And she's going to have more power than any vice president in the history of the United States of America.
Right.
Like, we're going to essentially be co-presidents. Yes, I'm going to be the president, but she is going to be, we are a team, and that they are going out speaking on behalf of each other and about progressive issues nonstop. Like, that is, you know,
they win easy.
It is a very appealing idea.
Yeah.
And it's just funny that the progressive, and that might scare off, like, does that say to Andrew Gillum, I'm not interested in running against that, right? You know.
Yeah. Well, look, if you're in the progressive camp, it's a weird thing to run against Bernie Sanders, mm-hmm. and it could be counterproductive, to your future, mm-hmm. because, like, I mean, look at what happened to Elizabeth Warren when she just didn't endorse Bernie Sanders last time around. She's still trying to recover from bad feelings from at least a very significant portion of the base.
Yeah.
Right. So. I think it's a bad idea.
But I also think it's a bad idea if nobody, I mean, I also don't think the slate should be cleared so that, yeah.
Not remotely. Yeah. No, I believe in contested primaries. And I want to, and I have an Elizabeth Warren exception. I think Elizabeth Warren is a person of such a significant stature that she could do whatever the hell she likes, right? Yeah. I just wouldn't do it if I was Andrew Gillum, and Huckabee missed his chance back in 2012. He could have.
Oh, right.
He could have won. He could have run as a populist candidate and beat Mitt Romney and maybe even beat Obama in 2012 if he ran full populist. I used to say that all the time back then. Then it turns out a populist won, Rand Paul. and then a populist did win in 2016. Yeah, obviously,
you were wrong about Huckabee because it's not who Huckabee is. Like, we.
No, he could be. I mean, white evangelical voters. He would have gotten them. Like, maybe not to the same degree as. Trump, but certainly pretty damn well, right? But
I don't think Trump. I mean, I don't think Trump would have beaten Obama either. I mean, I think Trump.
No, not Trump, in 2012.
Trump,
no
Trump,
way.
Trump ran against the one.
No, in no election he would have beaten Obama. Yeah. So anyway, Huckabee at least had a shot there, and he blew it. Elizabeth Warren had a shot last time. So I'm in the camp of just run, go now. This is your time. Go now. Except in this race, and I'm not saying it because I'm biased and I like Bernie Sanders. If I was advising Gillum, I'd be like, tap the brakes. Hold on, let's do some stuff in Florida. You're still super young.
That's right, yeah.
You know, let it play out. Same thing with Beto. Beto is going to, I believe he would lose his progressive credentials almost overnight if he ran against Bernie.
Yeah, so, but what I'm also curious about is that you know, they're not older than Trump, right, significantly.
The Warren and Sanders. I think Warren might be a year younger than Trump,
and Bernie
and Bernie's a couple of years older.
So, but you know, at some point that the thing that was floated about Biden, but it's been floated before. At some point, some people will run, and this might be a time for it, and say, we're going to serve one term, and we are going to drive. Yeah. And I hear you why you would want that from Bernie, but it also might be a way to scare off the. Andrew Gillum's, the Kamala Harris's, the Beto O'Rourke's of the world.
Yeah, it feels like a gimmick. I agree,
but just because it feels like a gimmick, some gimmicks work.
Here's a crazy gimmick idea. Okay, the power sharing agreement is Sanders Warren this time. Next time Warren Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. How's that for an unheard of idea? That actually feels too gimmicky, but it's an interesting thought.
but I like the idea of them sort of, I do like the idea of them going together, although I have a feeling that if they competed against each other, it would work out. One would do better and the other one would end up dropping out.
I don't see a bloodbath there. I just don't see it.
It's also a liberal bloodbath. That's not what happens. Like the only Democratic bloodbaths that we've had, they involve Hillary Clinton, you know, or her husband. Like they're
vicious. Yeah, and but Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are not vicious.
It's
not,
if Joe Biden runs, it's not.
And Biden's not vicious.
Yeah.
But out of his field of 20 to 30, you'll probably find someone who's vicious.
Yeah, you'll find somebody who's vicious.
Right. So anyway, fun, fascinating times, but that's for another day. Tomorrow is the big day. So we'll see you guys at 1 o'clock Eastern. All right, see you there.